Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Intuitive Conversations with Tamara and Chantel. I'm Chantel Neufeld.
I'm Tamara Franz.
And we've just been talking about how to hold ambiguity, or how to, you know, have this and that. So, like, in my life, I've noticed, especially lately, a lot of polarity with, like, ideas. And people are like, are you on this team or are you on this team? You know, are you this color of politics or that color of politics? And it's just like, why can't I take a bit of this good from here and a little bit of this good from there? And they're just like, no, then you're not on our team. And I think in this polarized, like, I feel like it's on the news and stuff, like, they're making things polarized. But if we're able to, like, be like, yes, this is true, bad things are happening, and I can dance in the evening, you know, like, what was that story where people were, they said they had to fight in the daytime, but they were dancing in the evening, and that just, it just rang so true for me. I'm like, that is such a helpful thing.
Yeah. Thinking, and even, like, just as a way of removing trauma from the body. Mm-hmm. I was walking in the park 2 or 3 days ago, and there was just this really thin layer of ice. It was early morning, so everything was still crisp and icy. And I just, like, my feet went out from under me, and I landed right on my rump. And, you know, you get up, and the body's feeling the shock, right? So I walked, and even 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, my body was still feeling the shock of that. And so I just stopped and just kind of shook up and down on my heels, shook my arms out, and just did a lot of shaking. As a way of getting the energy out. And so I think a lot of us right now are carrying so much tension, not just because of things that are going on in the world, but just life is stressful. The pace of life, when I think back to the 70s when I was a kid, it just seems so innocent and slow paced.
We didn't have phones in front of our faces.
Yeah, like just this barrage of information coming at us all the time. I think it's true, the dancing, like moving the body and finding ways to just kind of get rid of whatever's gotten stuck in our energy system throughout the day.
And drumming.
Probably be a good practice.
Drumming and humming. I feel like, you know, sound is like the next level of healing. Like it just has so many more benefits than we know of.
I actually saw the other day some kind of a news item about sound healing as a treatment for cancer being approved. I think it was the FDA, which is in the US. But anyway, there's hope. Yeah, that sound is powerful.
When you think about it, like our bodies are mostly water, right? And what happens to water when vibration, you know, interacts with water, you know, like it makes a difference. I'm thinking now of the sand on the kind of plate, and then there's the vibration that has all of those different designs.
Well, even Dr. Emoto in Japan, who did those experiments with water, when he had water in jars and some of it he yelled at and the other jar got like loving words and everything, and then he took pictures of the crystals that were formed, very, very different. So our bodies are 70% water, and sound is energy, so it's a way of getting the energy moving. And but I think too, like when you were talking about this and that, it made me think of Carl Jung, and he always said that the highest form of human intelligence is to be able to hold opposing ideas at the same time and not go insane.
Well, and so, just observe them.
Well, what is that exercise where I learned this from a therapist that I had, that when you are dealing with opposites, so the polarization or
called parts integration is how I learned.
So if I'm thinking of these terrible things that are going on in the world that I want to have compassion for, and also the hope that I want to have for change, you know, and to my therapist taught me, hold your hands apart so that you can have those, you know, two sides of the equation, and then slowly bring them together. And if you're losing sight of either one, you stop and you get them back so that they're equally, you can equally sort of hold both sides in your mind, and you just keep slowly bringing it together until you come to the middle.
Love that.
And that's alchemy, right?
Yeah,
like you're
it
bringing
is.
That, and then something new arises from the combining of those opposites.
Mm-hmm. When we with parts therapy and hypnosis and parts integration, usually there's in a therapy session, there's a part that is in resistance to the change that the person wants to make. And so we bring out the resistance part on one hand and give it a color and a name and sometimes personify it. And then we bring out its opposite and have them have a conversation with each other, see how they can work together for your best happiness. And they do. And as they do, like, you know, in hypnosis, you have your eyes closed and they just automatically slowly come together. And then they make a whole new, you know, image, color, personification, or usually a beautiful symbol that comes from that, from the subconscious mind. And
that's a great way of envisioning the new world that could arise, right? I think more and more of us are ready for the shift into something new, something more life-giving, something that honors life and supports life and helps us to find fullness of life without needing to do it through stuff and consuming and all of that.
Another thing that's coming to my mind is I applied for a new position at the place that I work. And so I have an interview next week. And always in these interviews, they ask, like, what are your faults? Like, or what are your weaknesses?
Yeah.
What are your strengths? Right. And the thing that I like to say is that every kind of weakness has a strength. Mm. So, like, you know, if you say, I'm a people pleaser. Well, I mean, that can be good too, right? It's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You just want balance of
the
people pleasing.
You have high social intelligence.
Yeah. You don't want to go overboard and like let everyone walk all over you. But, you know, but for all of these things, you just need balance. And the way to get balance is to be able to hold ambiguity, to hold this and that, to be like, improv is like that. Improv is like you start out with an idea and then you go, yes, and blah, 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 right? But you can't move on, or like energy can't really flow if you don't accept what is, if you're in resistance to what is.
Yeah.
So you first have to, like, you know, with the spiritual bypassing and everything, that is just like everything's rainbow, sunshine, butterflies. It doesn't look at the shadow and say, you know, the shadow is here. Yes. And this,
yeah.
Or like even on the way here, I was having a bit of tension in my head. So I was tapping away. I'm like, even though I feel blah, 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 I still love and accept myself, you know, but in that thing, you accept what is, and then you're like, and I love myself and I give myself what I need and what do I need?
Yeah. There's so much energy that goes into resisting a situation or resisting life as it is.
Yeah, when you're not in resistance with something, when you're in acceptance to something, like it changes everything. It changes the energy. That reminds me of the book, I think it was Feeding Your Demons, where there was a story of this lady who was going through a divorce. She wanted to take her kid and move overseas. Do you remember this story?
Vaguely.
It just really stands out to me. But it was basically that, you know, her ex was like, they were just always they're always fighting, and she could never get him to like come around and just, you know, cooperate and get with the program. And so she did that Feeding Your Demons process where, you know, you transform the symbol, like you look
at the situation.
It. Yeah. And she did it energetically. And then the next day he contacts her out of nowhere and is just like, okay, I'm ready. Like he just kind of felt that the fight was over. The resistance was gone.
And I just want to say for the audience that he wasn't the demon.
No.
It was the situation, right? As she was experiencing it, right? So that whole method has to do with coming up with an image to represent the situation.
Yeah. Like,
which she recognized, you know, her own responsibility in it too. But it shifted because she completely accepted and made peace with the symbol that was representing that whole situation. And it's amazing what that can do when you shift your own energy and how that can affect other people.
Yeah. You know, like people say, I don't know, I guess demons isn't necessarily the best word for it, but
it depends on your religious orientation, because for some
like,
people that is a very specific language, and for others it's metaphorical. So
yeah. But you know, What we're talking about is like balance and how to integrate the dark and the light, or how to.
I think another way to shift
create
that
using the polarized things.
Yeah, another way to shift that is because we get so rigid in like, this is bad, this is good, whatever. And I think just asking questions can shift that, right? What would happen if, or how good can it get, or.
Is there good in the bad? Is there bad in the good?
Yeah, yeah.
Because like the literal yin yang symbolizes that, the good and the bad and the bad and the good.
Or even, I wonder how I could look at this differently. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the hidden gift is in here for me.
Well, there's always gold in every challenge, but most people skip the lesson and just go into resistance mode, and then you can't learn from it. But like every hard thing that we've ever been through has taught us something valuable, and we wouldn't be who we are today without that. So.
Right. And I think too, like part of growing up as a humanity is saying, okay, look what's happening right now. How do we use this to grow forward? Right. If we don't want to keep sending our sons and daughters off to bomb people, if we don't want people to have their entire nations destroyed, what do we need to change? And even on a small scale, what do I need to change in myself?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the question I ask is, what beliefs am I supporting, or what beliefs are holding this whole thing together?
Mm.
Like if that belief wasn't so, you know, everyone believing in it, what could happen? So I know lots of people sometimes think about like, oh, it's the person in power, it's their fault, or they're just placing blame on a person or an organization, but I really think it's the belief system that holds it all in place.
Well, a person in power only has power as long as we let them have it, mm-hmm. right? Because we are the multitude, and mm-hmm. so something in us is buying into the idea that they are in power, and that, you know, even if we're resisting what they represent, that resistance is keeping them in power, because it's an acknowledgement of, I don't like the way you're leading. I don't like the power that you're wielding over me. But what if I just disengage from that and say,
if I stop participating? What if I stop spending my money on things that support that? Or, there's so many different ways that you can unplug or remove your participation, withdraw your energy and attention from.
Yeah.
And refocus it on what you want instead.
And I think that we're on the verge, or maybe we need to be on the verge of discovering really how much power we have.
Mm.
Because it's our own empowerment. It's us giving our power away to these structures and these leaders that allows them to wield what they wield.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that we really discover we have so much more power than we know, things are going to start shifting.
Reminds me of the Anne Frank quote, the quote about her, like the people that hid her were not following the government or the rules at the time. And the people that wanted to kill her or killed her were following the rules of the government. Mm. So, you know, you can't just blindly put your faith and trust in the rules and the law. Like you got to use your values to make your decisions.
We've talked at different times about the idea of defining values, mm-hmm. right? For anyone to sit down and just, what do I believe in? What are my highest truths? Mm-hmm. What do I want to represent with my life? And that's a way of anchoring yourself into integrity so that you can't be shaken from it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked even about the idea of writing your own manifesto, right?
Yeah.
I like to write poetry, and in a way that's my manifesto. But yeah, what would it feel like to write your own manifesto in this time where the sands are shifting and it's not so much as coming unglued? You know, what do you stand in? What roots you in your integrity? And how would you express that and put it up on a wall somewhere so that you can read it in the morning before you go off to work?
Especially if you read it out loud.
Yeah. I couldn't help but be struck. This is going back years now, but the whole January 6th thing, when there was the rioting on Capitol Hill and so many people were arrested, and you just heard one person after another say in court, oh, I just got caught up. I got caught up. I got swept along. Well, that's a result of actually not being clear. right? If you haven't defined your values, if you don't know what you stand for, if you don't know what you really feel like you're rooted in, like so strong that you're like a tree that just stands and is deeply rooted and can't be moved. If you haven't taken time to sort that out, then we're much more liable to get swept away by the energy and the frenzy of the collective.
Yeah, because it's about an intention. If you don't set an intention, someone's going to set it for you.
Yeah.
Another thing that I was thinking about, it was from Amanda Flaker, when she talks about empaths, a lot of the decisions that they make, it's they want to be a good person. They want to do the right thing, right? And so that's been kind of used against them over the years through religion and everything. And so she talks about, in order to break free and find your own sovereignty, to stop worrying about right and wrong, good and bad, and focus more on what are your values? What do you stand for? So that's when you were talking about values, it just brought me back to that. Because you don't need to, like, be a good person. You only have to have values, because being a good person can become imbalanced and trip you up.
And once you've just defined your values and in your highest intentions, that's your measuring stick, right? You can measure everything against that. And does this align? If it doesn't, then it's not for me.
And also, like, you have to include everyone in the equation. You have to include yourself. And empaths often don't include themselves. And that's where the imbalance comes in, because everyone's needs matter.
Right. Yeah.
Not just the powers we're serving, but our needs matter too. And I feel like that's a big piece of sovereignty.
Yeah. I think empaths don't realize actually the power they have, because they so willingly give it away. We're not foolish. We're not naive. We read people very astutely, right? But our unwillingness to make people uncomfortable or to confront, and sometimes even not because we're afraid, but because we feel the fragility of that person and we're not willing to put out from under them or whatever. But the minute you realize that, you know, it doesn't serve them either. We want to love people. We want to help them and not harm them. We don't want them to feel bad about themselves or whatever the case. Once you realize that, actually having firmer boundaries serves everyone better, then you can take back a whole lot of that power that you were giving away.
Brené Brown said you can't have compassion and empathy without boundaries. Nothing is balanced without boundaries.
Right, because it's not given mindfully. It's actually kind of a fawning behavior, right? I'm going to do this to just preserve the stasis of the situation and not have to deal with discomfort.
Well, growing up as an empath, it's like you don't understand that you pick up other people's energies. But once you do and you recognize, like, I was okay before that person walked in the room. Now that person walked in the room and all of a sudden I'm not okay. Or, you know, the other way around, you walk into the store and all of a sudden, oh, you know. But if you know who you are and you have that sovereignty piece, you can be like, well, that's their stuff. I don't need to take it on. I definitely am not responsible for fixing it. You know, like, that's their
stuff. I better keep myself together. How am I going to fix you?
But I feel like just knowing who you are is way bigger than people realize. Like, numbing and distracting and not.
How many people actually take time to set out and really feel into, like, who am I and who do I choose to be? Because the messaging is really strong from the time you're young, and especially if you're raised in a pretty strong conservative, let's say, religious culture and belief system.
And that tells you that astrology is bad, or, you know, like, knowing what your sign is, like, how can you know who you are then? Like,
To not be in the habit of thinking for yourself. That's revolutionary once you start doing it.
Yeah.
It can be scary, but it's empowering, and that's
and
kind
exciting.
Of our.
Exciting. Scary and exciting is a spectrum. Everything's a spectrum. We just need it in balance. But, anyways.
So, holding the balance.
Very important. All right.
So on that note,
keep following your heart song.